welcome back to the In Squash podcast. I'm your host, Jerry Gibson. This is episode 290, and the British Open is not too far down the road. We're in the middle of March, and we're looking at June, just a couple of months away. Not only does that mean we're in for another historic week of squash during that time, but during the event itself, the PSA Foundation will be hosting the PSA Squash Summit, and Adriana Olawa, head of the PSA Foundation, is my guest today to flesh all of that out. Now, obviously, it's going to be an exciting event given LA 28, but I'm guessing there's much more substance to it than that, with the overarching mission of the event being growing the game. So there's going to be a lot for Adriana and I to talk about. I'm really looking forward to seeing and hearing what the summit is all about and how we can all perhaps get involved. I know you have to be there for the event, but I'm sure there are other ways for us to get involved and to hear what comes from that event itself. But speaking of growing the game, obviously, I'm very proud to have as the sponsor of this podcast, Open Squash, and that's exactly what they do. The Open Squash mission means that they are trying to make squash accessible to everyone. Open Squash currently sponsors the very best in the game: Gina Kennedy, Victor Quinn, Hannah Craig, making inroads with Open Squash, and one of their great coaches that they have on board, and of course, world number one Ali Farag, and this year he's just been absolutely amazing. In fact, Ali has taken on the role as senior advisor for Open Squash alongside his former coach at Harvard, Mike Way. Now, each summer I've talked in the most recent podcast, I've talked about Open Squash's amazing summer camps, which include camps led by Mike Way himself, former world number one and Drexel head coach, friend of this podcast, Johnny White, along with Gina Kennedy, Victor, Hannah Craig, and several other highly respected coaches that Open Squash has on board and that will be contributing to the camps. They'll be putting on summer camps and clinics this summer, so check those clinics out at www.opensquash.org. Now, I talked about the early bird discount in previous podcasts. Well, that's about to expire on April 1st. So again, visit opensquash.org to see what camp is the best fit for you. Also, Open Squash has recently partnered up with Sunrise Courts, American-built squash courts run by Jordan Aldrich and his team. You can check out their court design and specs at sunrise-courts.com. That's sunrise-courts.com. Okay, now looking forward to this one, episode 290 with head of the PSA Foundation, Adriana Olawa.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Adriana. My apologies. I called you mate in the email, and I thought
that's
you might.
That's fine. That's absolutely fine. No worries.
Apologies. I was under the impression. I know Adriana's a female name, but I was under the impression, but for some reason, that you were male. So apologies for referring to you as mate.
It's fine. You know, women can be mates. Well, it's fine. It's very common in like Australia to say mate all the time. It's fine. No worries.
I'm Canadian, so I'm not accustomed to using mate either. But now I've been living in the UAE for quite a while now, and there are more expat Aussies and UK people. So I picked up mate. Anyways, Adriana, I know you've been incredibly busy today, and really appreciate you coming on the podcast, and really excited actually to flesh out the squash summit with you. I had Zena Wooldridge, she was my last episode of the podcast, so we talked quite a bit about the summit and how it sort of fits their vision of growing the game. But before we get started, I know you're the head of the PSA Squash Foundation. So can you just give us a little bit of a background on yourself and maybe what your squash backstory is as well?
I founded the PSA Foundation 8 years ago when I I did my I started playing squash really when I was in college in the US. And I'm not a very good squash player, and most people that have seen me play squash would agree. But I'm a very keen squash player.
Excellent.
So I used to play in college when I was in the US. I was 12 out of 12 in the team, so very
Okay.
much the bottom of the ladder. But I fell in love with the sport because of the community and because of the people that were involved in it. I quickly became more than just a team player in the team. I was the team manager, organizing where we were going and everything in the US. Obviously, with the collegiate squash is quite big. And I got to meet a lot of people, a lot of players, and just fell in love with the sport and the community. Then I was involved with the PSA tournament. I moved back to Colombia after college. I'm originally from Colombia.
Okay.
So I moved back to Colombia after college, and then there I was involved with the PSA tournament at the El Nogal.
Okay.
So that's how I started getting involved with professional squash. And then I continued working. I was working in Panama and Colombia, and then I decided to do my master's in sport and event management. And then my main focus was community and social responsibility around the sport. And that's how the foundation was started. It started from the desire to use squash for good and actually build something around the sport that we could give back to the community and bring the community together. And that's the essence and the spirit of the PSA Foundation. So then I approached PSA, and this project started 8 years ago, and it has only gone from strength to strength.
Well, that sounds exciting.
That's
Excellent. That's really, and I got the impression from Zina that they're really excited about the summit that's coming up and everything that it involves. But so where did you play your squash? What college did you play for?
Mount Holyoke
Okay.
College in the US.
Okay. And that must have been an amazing experience just to be able to compete at that collegiate level. I mean, there are so many tiers, right? You've got the Harvards and the Trinities of the squash world, and then it just trickles down, but it's so competitive. And it seems like I never really experienced it. We didn't back when I was playing. There weren't many. We had our own varsity collegiate stuff in Canada, but I think only West, maybe Western, might have played a few events in the U.S. University of Western.
I mean, my university wasn't, I mean, Mount Holyoke at the time, it still is pretty much at the bottom of those the levels of US collegiate squash is so competitive, as you said. And we were very much at the bottom, and I was very much at the bottom of it as well. But that doesn't matter, and I think that's what is so valuable from the squash community is that it doesn't matter what level your squash really is. There's always a welcoming club. There's a welcoming hand. I have lived in many, many places in the world: Colombia, Panama, Costa Rica, France, UK, and everywhere that I have moved, my community has been the squash club, and the squash club have always welcomed me. No matter, I mean, my standard's not very good, but I have always felt part of the club and part of the community because it's just so welcoming. And then I think that's why I fell in love with professional squash when I was in volunteering for the tournament in Colombia, was that even if you were not a good squash player, you were welcomed and you were involved and you felt part of it, and you could, have this really good relationship with the athletes as well. So that's where, I think that's where the heart of the sport is. And I think that's what we value the most as a squash community as well.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. And I think growing the game, that's part of it, isn't it? Making it, as the sponsor of my podcast, Open Squash, likes to say, making it accessible to everybody, right?
Exactly. So that's one of the objectives of the foundation. So the foundation has three core objectives. One is providing support for players. So we look after the players on tour, player well-being. We provide mental health support, well-being support. hardship support. So it's providing support to the players, which are the essence and the heart of the sport, really. Without them, we really don't have anything else. And then we have the second aspect of it is about accessibility, inclusivity, equality, just making it more accessible for everyone. Women, kids from different backgrounds, people from different backgrounds, breaking those barriers. That's, another aspect. And then the third part, like the third part of the foundation is working with Squash for Development organizations. So we work with all of those organizations that are doing something good with squash in their areas. So like the Nicole David organization, like the SEA programs in the US, like Egoli in South Africa, Squash Dreamers in Jordan. So all of these programs that have different approaches of using squash as a vehicle for good. So those are the three aspects that we work with. So it's community, accessibility, and players.
Really? Okay. Now let's get into the summit a little bit, and I'd like to take it in sort of piecemeal fashion and let you run with it after I kind of lay it out for you. So
Sure.
the summit is first week of June, I believe, in Birmingham, alongside the British Open, arguably the most historic squash event in the history of the game. There's so much history there, so it really seems appropriate, obviously, to host that event alongside the Open. But why did you guys, in the end, decide to host the event alongside the British Open?
So the Squash Summit will take place 3rd and 4th of June, alongside the British Open in Birmingham, and it's going to be hosted at the Gowling offices. Birmingham has been a very special place for us over the past few years. We also, before the Commonwealth Games, we organized the New Street event in the New Street Station, where we put the glass court in the middle of the train station for everyone to play. This was ahead of the Commonwealth Games. And then after that, the Commonwealth Games came, were fantastic. And then we had the British Open there for the first time last year. So Birmingham is a place that ha is very close to our heart. And having the summit alongside probably one of the most historic events in squash and the fantastic experience that we had at the rep last year. Also, we want the majority of people that are coming to watch the British Open to also have an opportunity to get together and talk about what we expect from the sport in the next 4 or 5 years. This is the first time that we're going to bring all the stakeholders from the sport together under one roof to talk about actions and to talk about what we can do for make the most of the momentum that we have now ahead of the Olympics. And it's a really exciting time for squash, and we really didn't want to miss the opportunity to bring people to the UK, to the British Open, and get all the brains together in one room and have an honest conversation about what we can do and find those key people in the different areas of the world that are the doers, the believers, the achievers, those that go and create their own podcasts, those that go and create innovative different innovations in the sport as well, outdoor courts, the community programs, the federations, the clubs that are changing the model, all of these really important people. It's very important to create a space to discuss, to talk, and this is the best opportunity that we have.
That's really exciting. Now you've got a star-studded lineup of guest speakers, so I'm going to go through the names that were on the website most recently, and perhaps that you've added to that. But I'm going to give you the name and then just to explain what we expect from them and whatnot. Obviously, the first one, Zina Wooldridge, president of the WSF.
So we have three kind of key areas of discussion that we're going to have our speakers in. So Zina, obviously, after the announcement of LA 28, we're going to have a panel discussion with Zina, Kevin Klipstein from US Squash, and Alex from PSA, and one of the players as well, to talk about what was the road to be included in the Olympics, why we were successful this time, and then what comes now, what are those opportunities? So it's going to be really interesting to hear from probably the three biggest stakeholders in that journey to the Olympics, and also commercial opportunities that are coming. So that's the first main topic. Then the second topic that we have is about discussing all the opportunities around squash for development and squash for good. So how are we going to make the most of that as well? Because that's really important for every sport and for the IOC as well. So we're going to have Nicole David from the Nicole David organization going to come and talk about her experience of being a player and then how she has turned that legacy into building this fantastic program in Malaysia. But we're also going to have 14 of the programs that we work with internationally. They're all coming together to Birmingham. So we're going to have representatives from Jordan, Colombia, the US, India, South Africa, all of them from all the squash for development organizations that we work with. That's the second part of the summit. And then the third topic that we're going to really dive into is talking about innovation and kind of disrupting the model. So we're going to be talking about the movement of outdoor squash. So we have some really interesting developments that are happening with outdoor squash around the world. We're going to hear it from the different court manufacturers themselves of what they're actually doing, those really cool projects going on that it would be good to get out
That
there.
outdoor court that I keep seeing on Instagram, I forget the gentleman's name that builds them, but it's in New York and they've got a few of them, but and they always get I think Sherbaggy plays there when he's in town, and all the guys, you might know the court I'm referring to. That looks, I want
Yeah,
to play
that's
on that
cool. It's
court
the
just
Max
looking at
Best
it.
Court. It's
The Max,
great. It's Max Best Court. Yeah, so he is Robert Gibraltar. He is one of these fantastic squash fanatics and really enthusiasts that created this steel court, and it's a fantastic place to play. We have been there. We had a
Have you
we had
played?
an exhibition there a few years back with Sherbaggy and Joel and Saurav and Joshna, and I had the opportunity to play on it, and it's fantastic. So there, he's doing a lot for outdoor squash, and these are the people that we want to hear from. So they're part of the outdoor court movement, which is really picking up a lot. There's like even like courts that are being built on boats and all sorts of different materials. There's the court that's going to come to Chicago. So there's an outdoor court that's going to be built in Chicago that we're working on as well. There's the court in Amsterdam. And so there's a lot of, and this leads to accessibility. That's the whole essence of these courts. These are courts that are for different parks where we can put them. There's also a carbon negative court that is in the process of being built. So that's a court that's being built with just recycled plastics. So it's a really low cost solution.
Yeah, that's the gist of it, isn't it? Like, fine. I think, anyways, nowadays, just cost effective ways to build squash facilities, because that seems to be the common thing these days, where people are saying it's just not affordable to run squash clubs anymore. That you get the people who are negative on that side, and that's what they'll say. But we need options like that, don't we? A sort of cost effective ways to grow the game.
Yeah, and different models. I mean, I think it's about that's why the summit is so important, because it's every model is different. There's the very profitable squash clubs that are member based, that are, very limited access for people. And that's okay. That's a model. But then there's other models in other parts of the world where it's really community. So it's you don't
Yeah.
have to be a member, pay to play. The clubs that have the bars in the middle of the club and then all the courts around it. I mean, I'm very lucky that I can play at Pontefract Squash Club. And the model of a squash club like that, everyone is welcome. It's not expensive, but at the same time, you get all the professional players that come and train and play. And it's the fantastic people that make it a great club. So we're also going to be hearing from different squash club models around the world to create better practices. What can we learn from each other? And I think that's something that has been missing from the squash community is creating a space, a safe space where we all come together and can discuss opportunities, best practices, experiences, what has worked, what hasn't worked, and create that bridge that has been broken for many years. So that is the essence of the Squash Summit, is bringing stakeholders together to get the most of the momentum that we've built for the Olympics and what's going to happen in the next 3, 4 years, that we can make the most of it as a community.
Yeah, that's really exciting. I remember a podcast that I did a while ago with a guy by the name of Ben Thomas. I don't know if you know him, but he's in Whistler, British Columbia, Canada, the big ski resort. They have what's called the Whistler Racquet Club. And it used to be just a tennis club. And they had squash courts in a community center down the road. But now his vision, because I think he's involved financially, is to create a rack actual full-on rackets club where they have every racket sport in the center. So, and I think, and his idea is that this is kind of where squash could also find its way in all-inclusive rackets center.
Yeah, I think that's one of the interesting things to discuss in the summit is also how to partner and what can we learn from other sports that we can partner with. I mean, obviously, we have all heard of the rapid increase of pickleball, paddle, or padel, and how that's really picking up. And I don't think we should see it as a threat, but it's an opportunity. And there's a lot of squash clubs that are actually mixing them. Like if you see also what Weil is doing down in Florida, it's a rackets club as well. So it's, squash doesn't have to be exclusive. It's also about how we can play and partner with other sports
Well, look at it this way.
that
I mean,
could
you follow the what's it, Ultimate Fighting or whatever. I mean, the Ultimate Fighting Championship, the champions are the guys who have all disciplines, right? All the disciplines of judo, karate, or whatever it is. I mean, you could go the same way with rackets, couldn't you? I mean, to be a good paddle player, a very good paddle player needs to know how to play a ball off the back wall. Even that they have to know how to boast. Well, where are you going to learn how to boast a ball better than on a squash court and vice versa?
Yeah, and I don't think, one thing is not everyone is meant to be a professional player, and obviously there's a path for that, which we have paid that path, and luckily the professional squash tour is at its best at the moment. But building the grassroots and from the bottom up to get more people playing, we need to include other sports as well that people want to play, and creating the racket opportunity. You can play against the wall, you can play with each other, you can play in groups. I think it's not just playing two people on a squash court to be absolute professionals. There's only a few that are going to really make it to the top.
Right on.
So yeah, I think that's what it's about.
This is awesome. This exciting stuff. Now, are tickets the tickets are still available for anyone who wants to get involved?
Yes, we have a few tickets available, so it's actually really picked up great momentum, which is really exciting. For us, it's very important to have the right people there.
Yeah.
We want it to be you know, that the people that are there are action takers and people that want
Movers
to
and
get on
shakers.
it now for the next few years. Exactly, the movers and shakers. So we have a few tickets left. Yes, it's £120. That includes lunch for both days, and it includes tickets to the British Open on both days and a networking space at the British Open. So really, it's not a high cost. And it's really what we want is to create the opportunity to connect, discuss, and build from it. So it's £120. Tickets are available on the PSA Foundation website. And we really are hoping that we will be sold out by the end of the month.
Brilliant. If you look at the list of attendees that you have, like where might you are, is there anything sort of missing, like in terms of the squash community? Are you in need of maybe club owners, management, player representatives, coaching? Is that kind of how you're looking to identify certain groups of people? And are you maybe looking for a certain group at this point to fill a void
To
that
be
might be?
honest, we have a wide variety of people attending now, which is really good. We have a good number of federations, but not too many. We have a good number of clubs and leaders of clubs, directors of clubs, which is quite good. We have a good number of just like different business in squash and innovators in squash. So we have some people attending from outdoor courts and different business models in squash, which is good. So we have that sense of innovation there, and we have a lot of keen squash fans and active people from the squash community as well. So we have a good variety at the moment. We have, I would say, maybe we have less coaches, which is maybe a little bit, it's not surprising because I think, there's not a coaching model necessarily, but it would be good to have more, of the coaches, but maybe also that's, that could be linked to clubs and federations. So we don't have a lot of coaches, but I think we have a really good variety at the moment. And yeah, I think it really has brought people from all over the world as well. We have people coming from Africa. We have people coming from the US, from Latin America, a lot of Europeans. We have the Squash Facilities Network as well, which is a really great case study of what they have done, and they are sharing, what the different clubs are doing. So
Maybe
that will be really
media.
interesting.
Are there any other media people involved, like sort of from squash player? I guess squash player is now part of PSA, but media is
Yeah, and
also.
we
I'm
do
not
have
trying
different
to get
media.
an invite here, by the way. I'm not really media, so.
You are very much welcome. You are very, very much welcome. If you
Okay.
want to come, we are very much welcome. We do have media. We also have a few people from other sports
Yeah, I was going to
that are
ask you
going to
that.
be coming to, from
Which
other
other
sports
sport?
too. We have yet to confirm the ones that are definitely coming, but it's some of the Olympic sports that have also been recently added to the Olympics, along with paddle as well. So we do have, but not, I mean, we are looking for people that want to share what they have learned from their experiences from those sports in terms of becoming Olympic sports and what has been positive. And so we are working with them, but that depends. We're waiting to confirm if they can actually make it or not, because it's just before Paris. But I mean, we want to have input from those sports as well. So yeah, it's a variety of things that we have at the moment. We are working also to get other local speakers as well. So we are in conversations with Rob Owens as well to have him involved,
Brilliant.
which will be interesting
Yeah, that would
because
be
it's
great.
always, I
He'll
think it's,
fire people up.
That's but those I think that's really interesting to have spaces where we can have conversations openly with, you know, there's a lot of, oh, we should do this, we should, and so let's, you know, let's bring that to the table and see what we can do. And
Yeah,
so
someone like
yeah.
Rob, definitely, because he's got so many ideas and he's not afraid to share them and peep and I think he's got fairly thick skin. People will be able to, go a little bit of banter back and forth and exchange ideas. And yeah, someone like Rob or anyone like that who's just full of ideas and not afraid to share them would be perfect, it seems to me. Yeah.
So we are in conversations with Rob to see if he can be a moderator as well,
Oh, cool.
for one of the for precisely like the disrupting the model and, you know, all of these that side of the panel. So we are talking with Rob and I mean it's exciting. It's the first time we do it. It's the first of its kind, and it's the first that time that we are bringing everyone together after the Olympic announcement and after the investment. It will be towards the end of the season as well, so probably the most exciting and successful season for PSA after you know, having SMM and the investment and the Olympics. I mean, everything happened in October. So at the end of the season is going to be a really good opportunity to reflect on it, take some action, and you know, take some notes and get the stakeholders to gear up for the next 4 or 5 years.
Hey, Drianne, I'm glad we got together because this I'm really excited now. Might have to look at my look at taking a week off and coming over. We'll see.
Please come, please
Yeah.
come. Absolutely. We'd love to have you. I think Kanzi is,
Yeah.
you know,
She's from
Kanzi
Dubai.
Daftari from
The
Dubai.
Flying Deaf.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We spoke with her, Kanzi, to see if she, I think she's doing some really interesting stuff as well with, you know, in Dubai and her academy and, you know,
Yeah,
kind of,
she's really, she's got a good thing going and she's proactive and she's got great ideas and she's young and vibrant. And I think good person to
Yeah, and she
have over
has,
there.
you know, she's been able to also connect with players. So, you know, I think she's, so I had a conversation with her as well, and we'd love to hear about what she's doing. Also, you know, with her being a woman coach,
Yeah.
that's another one of the things that we're working on from the PSA Foundation. We're doing a women in coaching course in Egypt, next in April. Next
Okay. Yeah.
month. So we're
It's
doing
pretty
we're
interesting
fully
here
funding.
in Dubai. The two top coaches, I would say, are both female. Kenzie and then Tarek Momen's sister, Farah, I think her name is a Farah Momen.
Oh, okay. Oh,
Yeah,
great.
she's also, and her academy is, from what I can see, doing really well as well. So I think, two female, very good coaches from what I know. So here in Dubai, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. So Kenzie from it's she's looking to come all the way from Dubai. So, you know, you guys can,
Fantastic. Yeah. Well,
yeah,
I'm really
we'd love to have
thank
you.
you so much for your time. Is there anything we left out? Anything you want to add? I know we, if anyone's interested, they can visit the PSA Foundation website for tickets. They're limited at the moment, so.
Well, they're going fast, which is exciting. So, we are. I mean, they can reach out to the PSA Foundation for more information. I think, you know, it covers a lot for the cost. Is not an expensive summit, and we just want people to come with an open mind, with ideas, and ready to be fired up for the next few years. So, if you would like to come, please come. We'd love to have you. And thank you for giving us the space also to share and talk about it.
Well, I'm fired up, and I think anyone who listens to this will be as well. Adrienne, thank you so much, mate.
Great.
We'll see you
No
next time.
worries,
I hope we
Gary.
can do it
Thank you
again.
so
Yeah, maybe
much.
we catch up after the summit.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, we'll do it here if you come to the summit.
Oh
I'll come to
yeah. Okay,
Birmingham.
yeah. I'll lay the groundwork.
All right.
Take
Thank you.
care.